It's rock and roll.
Hello, and welcome to the Look It's Rock and Roll podcast, the vinyl edition. And I think this is our second vinyl edition. And I'm Ken, host, and the co-host today is Mark Anthony Kay. And thanks for coming and doing this with me this time, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to talking vinyl with you.
Yeah, it's always fun talking vinyl. You know, you never get tired of it. So we both like it very much. So we'll see how this one goes. It's a little different. What we're going to do today is we're going to each of us pick two artists each. I'll pick two. Mark will pick two. And we'll have a few pressings to show of each one of their albums. We'll have two albums that we're going to focus on, but it'll be three different pressings. Could be different years. Could be even the same year, I guess, technically. You never know, because that happens. You know, you could have multicolor in one year or something like that. You know. So let's get started, I guess. I'll start first here. Right. I'll just talk about my first artist, and I guess I should. And should I put it on the Zoom, Mark? I think or not? Yeah. I'll get to it when I'll show it. So, right. Well, we may or may not need to. Well, we'll see how it goes. But my first artist is The Cars, and I'm focusing on the Candio album.
Oh, nice.
1979 album. And, you know, the first time I heard of The Cars was, I remember driving to school in high school and with my friends in the car. I remember, you know, the first album, hearing, you know, My Best Friend's Girl and those other ones that they played a lot, you know, from the first album. And that was the first time hearing music from The Cars. And, you know, I had gotten their first album at that time. The next time about this, the second album is after I graduated, just shortly after I graduated from high school. We were on the road again, of all things, and driving down to Santa Cruz, California, going to go to the beach. And on the way there, over the mountain, we hear this new song by The Cars, and it was Let's Go. And I was like, oh, this is a new song. I was like, wow, that's a pretty cool song. It sounded differently, kind of cool groove and all that. So I guess not shortly after that, I probably went to the record store and picked up the album at that point. So I kind of was hooked at that point. And this album, another reason I picked this album was because it's my favorite Cars album, I guess you could say. A lot of people, it's the first album, but, you know, because the first album is like a greatest hits, right? But this one is close to that as far as, you know, a lot of hits being on it. But I like all the songs on this one, too. I think they're all great, and it sounds great. So why did I pick this album? That's why I picked it, I guess, because it's my favorite album. So let's get into the album itself. So my first copy, and we're going to show three copies of each album, three pressings. This one here is 1979 copy, and I'll show it in the back. It's an original pressing, and very original. This one had an inner sleeve, Cars on one side of the picture, and then the lyrics on the other side. Of the album. This here is a promotional copy. A white label promotional copy. And It sounds pretty darn good. Well, it should sound pretty good. But it's, you know, it sounds really good. So that was, this is 79. This one was mastered, I believe, by George Marino. And it's, you know, it's a good, great sounding record. And he produced a lot. Mastered a lot of great records with other artists, not just the Cars. And he's well known, as you know, Mark.
Yes.
So the next, the second one I'm going to show is the Cars, Candio, of course, again. And this one is a 2016 remastered copy of the Cars. And they did a pretty good job of replicating the color of the other one, the cover. I think it's just a little bit different in the lighting or the shades of colors. This one has no name on the front. Yeah. So I guess we could talk about that. That's a good point. So on the other one, you saw the name on the front, right?
Yeah, the band name and I think the name of the album as well.
This is a sticker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why on the promo sticker. I think on the original pressings, they had the sticker on the shrink wrap.
Oh, okay.
All right. So when you took off the shrink wrap, you had nothing on here. But this is a promo. They threw it on the promo. There's no shrink wrap usually on promos. So that's a good point. I think later on in other pressings, they did put the name on, you know, the front on other pressings, probably, you know, late, you know, or 80s, probably stuff like that. This one is 2016. It came out of the Cars box set. It was a vinyl box set of colored vinyl. And that whole box set was, you know, mastered by Ted Jensen. Mm-hmm. With Rick Ocasek,
okay,
of the Cars, but it was cut by, that was mastered by, but it was cut by Ryan Smith.
Okay, yeah.
All right. That,
the big thing that people don't really clue into that a lot of times, because whenever I see people doing these kind of videos, you'll see people on there say, you know, this album was mastered by so-and-so, and, you know, that was in the Dead Wax. It's like, okay, but that what's in the Dead Wax is not always the mastering person. Normally, the person who puts name in the Dead Wax is the one who cuts the lacquer, not the guy who masters it. And then it's not always the same person. You know, like you just said, Ted Jensen mastered that one, but Ryan K. Smith cut the lacquer. And there's many records like that where it happened, where Robert Ludwig's mastered it, but then you have, you know, what's his name? Bernie Grundman will cut the lacquer. You know,
exactly.
Eyes open for that. Sorry, go ahead, Ken.
It's tricky, and sometimes they both do this. You know, the one person does both.
There's
one or the other. You know, one and another person. And speaking of that, in the first Runout Groove of the first one I showed, the promo copy, that has RTB in the Runout Groove. It says Sterling, but RTB for Roy Thomas Baker.
Baker, yeah.
So that makes me think that even though Roy Thomas Baker was I think he was involved in the cutting with George Marino somehow.
Possible.
You know, that happens too. Yeah. You know, the two guys will be, or he was overseeing it.
I mean, George. That was maybe this album was his baby at the time. Maybe, you know, because the first record did so good, he wanted to make sure this one did really well as well. So we oversaw it with them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So this one is, like I said, it was the out of a box set. It was a colored one. This one that was in red color. This
very nice
Candio. And you know, the sound on this one is pretty darn good. You know, compared to the first promo, I think it's almost there. Almost there. You know, it's pretty darn. It was produced so well in the first place, but it sounds pretty darn good. And they replicated the insert They have a separate insert, and then they have your other one. I mean, the regular one with the lyrics. They replicated that, and then they put the inner sleeve, the lined inner sleeve, the good one, for the record. So, yeah, they did that right. So, that's that one. And then another reason I picked these two albums that I picked today is because they're kind of a couple of more new, brand new, really. So let's go to the third one. This one's a nice job. Okay, here it is again. Looks familiar. A little shinier cover, I think on this one. Right? This one has it on there. It's not a sticker. It's not a sticker or anything. And this is the 2024 limited Rhino release, their audiophile series. This one was limited to, I think this one was limited to 5,000. Yeah. And that the other one, the red one with the box set, that's limited to 3,000. But this is limited to 5,000. I think it's sold out. It might have sold out already, I believe. And this one, though, is different. It's a gatefold.
Oh, nice.
So the inner sleeve, they turned into the inner gatefold, which is, a nice touch. It's nice, heavy-duty gatefold, really thick cardboard. And this one has a good sleeve again. The difference on this one, too, is it's a different center label on each side of this one. And this, let's get up here. Get that up there.
Oh, look at that. Nice.
That. And then the other side is.
I like how they did the labels there, how they kind of reversed it.
Yeah. It was a nice little touch there. Now, this one was, like I said, 2024 limited. As numbered on the back of the record, I think I have 3,000 something on the back of mine. I think it's there. It's right down there. Get it. Oh, is it wrong side?
Wrong side. I don't see anything there. Other side.
I got it. There
we go.
I'm reversed.
3,198.
All right. So this one, and I had bought the first one. They did this in the first album. They did the limited one there, and that sounded so darn good. I like, okay, they're doing the second one. I'm going to definitely get that one. This one, though, was produced, it was remastered, and the lacquer was cut by Kevin Gray.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So from the original, the other thing on it is from the original analog tapes on this one. So they actually used the tapes on that. I think it's half inch or whatever. The other thing about this, in the other sleeve, you have a little booklet. It's a really
love those
one page, but I like seeing these reels.
Yeah, I love those kind of.
They actually made a correction on this reel where they had to flip the songs and change the time. They overwrote the total time on it, and they spelled. It's funny. They spelled, maybe it's on this side actually, Lust for Kicks. I think on the album it's. Yeah, they spell the word kicks, K-I-C-K-S. On here, it's K-I-X. Yeah. But it shows the engineer was Jeff Workman.
Nice.
On this, too. Roy Thomas Baker. What else about it? One half track, one half inch tape, 15 IPS, yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of cool touch. And then on the inside part, you got the pictures. And then
also, it's like an extra booklet kind of thing.
It's kind of, but it's just like a one fold open thing. It's not no big, but it's a little interview thing with Roy Thomas Baker. had questions and answers. So it's a nice little, you know, touch they do. And they did that also on the other one that I have. They've released, I mean, they just started these kind of releases at Rhino recently. So I guess one last thing about it is the sound on this is just fantastic. It jumps out. Everything just jumps out, and it's so clear. It's like the band's right there with you. It just sounds fantastic. I think it's better. It's definitely better. It's better than the promo copy.
I was just going to say, so out of the three copies that you have, which is the one that you think is the winner? That one?
I think this one is the winner, definitely, over the promo. And then the other one is not too far off the promo, the red one, the colored one. One last thing on that one is it has like an Obi.
Oh, okay.
That was on it, but you know, I'm not. It doesn't stay on it, but let's see if I can get this. I don't know. It shows.
Original Royal Tays Press and Optimal Media heavyweight cable jacket exclusive insert with commentary from Ray Thomas Baker, limited edition numbered at 5,000. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, and then the track listing on the backside of it or whatever. So, yeah. So I really, really enjoy. If they do some more albums, I mean, they've done a few more albums, other albums, blues and new wave. I think they did a couple of different albums. Doobie Brothers, I think they did, but
you know, the one thing I'm hoping that these people do is, I'm getting a little leery about one thing. Every time I see these releases that come out, they will say copied from the original master tapes. Now,
right.
One thing I never hear in these interviews, which I'd love to ask one of these guys one time, like a Kevin Gray, is, are you guys actually making backups of the master tapes? Because if you're going back to these same tapes and nobody's putting them on,
they
the
should
reminding them, passwording, setting them up. Yeah, after a while, these tapes are going to start futzing out on you. So I'm wondering if these guys are going to, you know, because most of these studios have multiple quarter-inch machines or half-inch machines,
uh-huh.
And you know, why not grab, you know, five or six blanks and make some backup copies of these things? And people say, oh, it's a loss of a generation. You know what? I'd rather have a loss of a generation of analog tape than to have no analog tape, and now you're going off of digital only, which to me, I don't have no problem with digital. I'll say that right now. But if they were smart, they should be making backups of these tapes, because you can only do these tapes so many times, because it seems like they're reissuing some of these albums like every other year. So after a while, this tape is going to start getting a little, you know,
yeah,
a little
yeah,
there, you know, a little
yeah, they're going to break and they're going to degrade and the yeah. whole bit. I hope they do. I'm sure they are. And because there's only so many times they're going to be able to do this, and then the tape is not going to be.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go to the digital form of, you know, the.
Because don't forget, tape. when you make a stamper, like when you cut a lacquer, you can only use it for like, you know, what, 1,000, 1,500 copies of
it. Yeah, like it starts to wear.
Make another one, right?
Yeah.
You got to make another thing off of the tape, you know, and that's where it gets crazy, you know. You got to be careful with that, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. So I think I'm done with Cantio.
All right.
So let's see your. I'm interested to see your first pick.
Okay, so I picked two albums that are pretty important to me as a listener and as a record collector, and you know, they're bands that I've obviously loved. I'm sure Ken will be not shocked at all by the bands that I picked, and probably not shocked at all by the albums I picked, but I picked them for good reasons. So the first album that I'm going to be talking about, and I got three fantastic copies of this record, is the Yes album by the band Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the first copy I'm going to show, and let me, okay, before we get to that, the first time I ever heard Yes, I was pretty young. I was maybe about 14, and I was at a friend's house, my father's friend's house. He had a fantastic stereo system, and he played me Fragile. And I was like, wow, what the hell is this? I never heard it before, and I was just totally taken aback by it. After that happened, you know, it piqued my curiosity for Yes stuff, and then I found 90125 and stuff like that. And I, by the time I got to the Yes album, I was pretty deep into it. And I remember the first time I heard the Yes album, I liked it, but I was really hooked on the whole Rick Wakeman lineup at that time. So when I saw Tony Kaye was on there, and his keyboards were a little bit more Hammond organ heavy, and he wasn't so flashy dashy as Rick Wakeman was, so I was a little like, oh, it's okay, not as good as Fragile or Close to the Edge. But I ended up coming back to this album a lot later and realizing, because my love of the Hammond organ started, and I love that instrument, and it's all over this album. And this album is important for another big reason, because this is the first time that Eddie Ilford got behind the desk in a sort of production capacity with the band. So they really went to town with the production of this album, and the sound of it sounds really, really good. I mean, sure, there are some bad copies of this album floating around, but for the most part, it was recorded very, very well. And unless they did something really foolish with the tapes or with their mastering or the cutting, you know, chances are you'll get a good copy of this album. But I have three that I think are really good, and a little bit of, you know, story behind each one of them.
Oh, okay, good.
So before I start, let me just double check one thing really quickly here, because Ken was kind enough to send notes for us for this thing, just to make sure that I'm talking about what I should be talking about here. So it says here, first time hearing it, I did that. When did you first, blah, blah, blah. When did you first buy? Why did you pick it? Well, again, this is popular in my... within the discography, this is one of my favorite records that they are. Now, my favorite Yes album is Relayer, but this is a very close third or so. But I love this record, and it sounds good. And more importantly, this is a very good sounding record. So let's take a look at the first one. Now, let me see which one that I take here first. Oh, yes. Okay. So this here, let me take it out of the thing here. I'm never going to see it. This here is a 1973 German third pressing.
German third pressing. Yeah. Okay.
Now, the thing is that when I say third pressing, it came, the German ones came out in the original year, which I believe is 71 or 70, 70 or 71. And, you know, so every year they probably did a repressing of it.
Right.
Right. But it's not a remaster, it's a repressing. Okay. Which means that they didn't do anything different with it. They didn't do anything different with the sound of it and stuff like that. The German ones have laminated covers.
Yeah, laminate. Yeah, I can see the shininess. Yeah.
Yeah. And at the very top there, you see that text there at the top corner?
Yeah. Let's see if I zoom in on this one. Maybe I'll put it bigger for you here. Let's see. Try that one. Oh, not that one.
You got to push solo with the solo thing.
I'm picking the song. What? That's you. That's me.
That's you, big. That's you, really big.
How can I make you big? Let's see here. I'm trying.
Oh, don't worry about it. I'll just do this.
Okay.
So there's the information. Okay, which is different for like each country. They put it differently because they're different catalog numbers. So this is also a gatefold, okay, which you can see right there. And the thing about the German stuff is like, it's not flimsy, but it's not exactly the most hardest cardboard for it, right? Which is fine. But the most important thing, in my opinion, of this record is the vinyl itself. Okay. So here's what it looks like.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Atlantic. Uh-huh.
You'll see there has like the information at the bottom with that little triangle at the bottom there. There, that's usually very noticeable on German pressings of these albums, right? It just says 33 on it, right?
33. Yep. Okay.
At the bottom, and there it is again.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about this is that there the information as far as the mastering goes on this, and I wrote down some notes here just to make sure I had talking notes. It was pressed at Deutsche Grammophon, which is a pretty well-known pressing thing in Germany to where they do records.
I think I've heard of that one, yeah.
Yes, and the lacquer was cut at Ton Studio Fonts. Now, when you look at the dead wax, you'll see a PF in the dead wax. When you see that, that means that that's that studio that did. Now, German pressings are notoriously known, like well known to be very, very, very good sounding pressings. And this is no exception. In fact, when I was in the peak of my collecting Yes albums, and whenever I would talk about them on various podcasts and stuff like that, I made I made a note of purposefully ignoring talking about the German ones because I didn't want people to catch on because they were pretty affordable at the time back then. I didn't want people to catch on that the German pressings were so good that people would start clicking in and then also the price would start good. So I kept it under quiet and started snatching up a lot of German pressings of different Yes albums, right? So this one is definitely a fantastic pressing of it. They're still not outrageous German pressings. And obviously the more far back that you go, like 73, 72, they're going to sound amazing. And I mean, I, this is the, this is my actual listening copy that I listen to.
Okay.
Out of all the ones that I have, and I'll show you the other two because the other two are fantastic as well. But this one is amazingly good condition. I'd say it's borderline, borderline near mint.
No,
like that's how good it is. Okay,
that's good.
And, and considering how old this album is, like a 73 pressing, that's as old as me. That's like it's like 50 years old. This album, you know.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah. So
yeah, the cover is good shape.
So it was kept in well. It was kept in good condition, and it plays really good. Like I mean, there's hardly a pop or a crackle or anything on this. And you know, when you have songs on here, you know, like Yours Is No Disgrace. Very different, you know, moods and, you know, dynamics. And, you know, I've seen Old Good People, for example.
Yes.
Very acoustic. It has, like, the Portuguese guitar in there. So you don't want it to be, like,
no.
Listening to that, right? You want it to be nice and clear. And this sounds fantastic. So my first pick for a good record pressing of this is the 73 German pressing. Okay? So that's number one.
Good.
Now, number two.
Number two.
Now, this one is one that has become extremely difficult to find now.
Okay.
here's the album cover. It's a little bit more beat up, and it's not it's not lacquered. It's very just, you know, straight cardboard, but it's strong. It's hard as hell, this thing, okay? This is a... Let me get my note just to make sure I'm saying this correctly. I just want to make sure. This is a 1971, March 19th, in fact, is when this album was released. March 19th, 1971, Canadian first pressing.
Oh, first pressing. Canadian.
Of the Yes makes sense. Okay. And there's the back. Okay. There you can see
their
information down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's as far as the structure of it, all these albums are pretty much the same. Like, it's a gatefold and blah, blah, blah. The pictures in the back. What'll change from album to album is, for example, you see at the top now, there's nothing in the top there because the German pressings had their catalog number there.
Oh,
the Canadian one has it down here at the bottom.
Where they put it, right?
So now people say, well, how am I going to know if I have a Canadian first pressing? You know, well, this is extremely easy for this album to know whether you have a Canadian first pressing. And my friend Vance, who I do a live stream with on Tuesdays and Sundays, he newly acquired some Led Zeppelin albums, first pressings, and they were all on the same label, which is the Atlantic Red Label.
Okay.
Now, when you see this red label, that's an early pressing. Like, they stopped using this, I think, in 72.
I don't think I have any labels like that.
Yeah.
Atlantic.
It's Atlantic Red Label. Now, I have this album. I have Time in a Word on this label, a first pressing like this as well. And now, I know that people a lot usually say this, but I'm going to say this with the greatest of sincerity. I'm going to look you straight in the eye. This album sounds absolutely incredible. Like, I know people say that, you know, you should always search out a first pressing, and for a good reason. This thing sounds incredible. I mean, it's so punchy, and there's so much low end on this, and the top end is really nice. The sound stage is really, really good on this. And, you know, look, the thing is like, what, 52 years old now, or 53 years old? There's a pop or two here and there on it, but nothing that can distract you from listening to it. You know, I mean, I've listened to this a few times and just was absolutely in shock of how good it is. You know, this one was cut at the RCA Studios in Toronto. Okay.
Okay.
And in the Dead Wax, this is interesting because I remember when I was looking this up years back, I always wondered, there was a TG they have in the Dead Wax. And I was wondering, what the hell is a TG? And it's a little thing that they put in from the pressing plant. That's, the T stands for Toronto.
Okay.
And the G stands for good, that it's a good cut. Okay. Now, they do have a T. There's another version of it, like T something else. And I think that it just means that it was done on a secondary machine, and maybe the first run of it didn't go good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when you see the TG, it means that it's good. But there's also an MG, which I believe is Montreal.
Right. Okay, and Montreal good.
Yeah,
you don't want TB.
Yeah, T bad. You know, you don't want that. You don't want,
you don't want the B.
Yeah.
So now, that one sounds better than the German one, I suspect.
Yeah, I would say it's better only in the sense that the German pressings tend to have really good mid-range, and their sound stages are really good, but they tend not to go too overboard on the low end, right? Because maybe it's just the way that they prefer their albums over there, you know, maybe that's the way they've been taught. Music. That's another thing. True. How you're taught to do this thing, because it's an art. Cutting lacquers is not an easy thing, and you're taught certain ways to do it, you know. I mean, I don't have to go through the story about, you know, Led Zeppelin II and how they cut it so hot that, you know, Ahmed Erdogan said, no, we're ditching this and, you know, we're recutting it again. And then that copy ends up being one of the most sought after one because it's so bass heavy. But back then, nobody had the equipment to play such a bass heavy cut of a record, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to be, you know, they were probably being cautious with it. But the Canadian cut of this is really, I mean, it's not like, you know, thundering bass, but it's definitely, you can hear Chris Squire's bass really good. Mm-hmm. You can hear Bill Bruford's kick drum really nice in this. It's a really, really good sounding record. So the German one is fantastic too. As far as clarity goes, I'd say maybe the German one has a little bit on it as far as clarity goes. But as far as overall sonics, I think this one is a touch better.
Okay, cool. I know I have one copy of that record, but anyway.
I'm curious to see, or I'm curious one time, you should let me know what it is. They've done it. They've done quite a
bit. It's a 70s pressing, but I don't think it's a first pressing.
70s, okay, cool. Okay, so that's that one. Now I have one more to show, of course.
I'm going to try to get you in your solo layout there. There we go.
There we go.
Greetings. I figured it out.
There you go. So this last one is a very special one for me because I was gifted this one for my birthday. Like I said before, I do a live stream with this guy named Patrick. And
I know.
Yeah, and you frequent it sometimes. I see you on there in the chat.
I get on there every now and then.
And so he has a massive collection of records. It's unbelievable how many albums this guy has.
Right.
And he's big on doing digital rips of it, and they sound fantastic. So sometimes he'll, with the records that he doesn't need, he'll sell them or he'll give them to his friends or, you know, whatever. So for my birthday, he sent me a very special copy of this album, one that I was always kind of eyeing but could never really pull the trigger on because, you know, either it was a little out of my price range or whatever. But I'm so happy that he gave it to me for my birthday, and that's this one here. This is the Friday Music
Friday version Music. Yeah.
Of this album. It comes in a hard box here.
Oh, nice. I
probably shouldn't have done that because the dog might bark. But but it comes in this kind of hard box. You see it there at the bottom. It says Friday Music at the bottom.
Right, yeah.
Right. Now, you open the box, right? And inside here is, and this is the only thing about it. I mean, you would have thought Friday Music would have put all kinds of stuff in here with it, but it's not. It's just the album. Now, here's the album, and it's a gatefold, and this thing is really, really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like it weighs a ton. It's a gatefold here.
Okay. Yeah.
There's the back. Again, there's the Friday Music.
Friday Music
at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Now, the big thing with this version of the album, and I'll pull out one of the copies here. Okay, here's the regular sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
But they are poly-lined.
Good.
Okay, which is a big thing for me, as you know. And here is side one. And now you're going to notice something interesting about this when I show it to you. It's on a plum label, right?
Oh, the plum, but yeah.
Look here. I don't know if you can make that up. There you go.
45 RPM?
It's a 45 RPM. It just has Yours is No Disgrace. One song on this side.
Wow.
That's it. Okay, because this song is like 10 minutes long.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So they cut it on one side. Now, if side just two songs on this side only, right? Which is The Clap and Starship Trooper, right? The Clap is just Steve Howe's, not The Clap, sorry, Clap. It's just a guitar piece. So it's only like 2 minutes long. And then you got Starship Trooper, which is 9 minutes long. It's on really heavy vinyl. It's like, it says it's 180 grams, but this feels actually heavier than 180, in my opinion.
It might be heavier. You never know.
Yeah. But, the thing is, the plum labels were usually known to be used on the UK early, or the US ones as well. Early pressings had that plum label. And that's how you knew you had an early pressing of a UK album when you had that. So here's side three. Okay. There you have Seen All Good People and Adventure, right? And side four here is just Perpetual Change. That's that song. Okay. Now, the sound of this is excellent. Like really, really good. I mean, once you start listening to records at 45 RPM at 12 inch, I mean, you got a lot of fidelity available to you. Okay. It sounds really good. The top end, the bottom end and everything in it is really well done. It's really well balanced. But the thing is, and I'll be honest about this, Friday Music didn't always have the best reputation for making reissue albums.
That's correct.
A lot of times people were saying, oh, Friday Music, you're very leery about getting ones. But when Patrick told me that he had this and he said that it sounded amazing and it was really well done, considering the fact that the credits show that the remastering was done by Joe DiRigoso, who's the head of Friday Music.
He's the main guy.
Beware, people. Beware of that guy when it says that he's the one remastering, because I don't know. That guy, I don't know if he just has cotton balls in his ears or something, but they're not usually that good. Mm-hmm. But this one's fantastic. Okay. And the lacquer is done by Ron McMaster, which is another guy.
We know Ron McMaster. Yeah.
And that's the thing with him. People are sometimes still a little like unsure about his work, but it's really good on here. It sounds really fantastic. By the way, this is a 2015 US release. Okay. I forgot to mention that. 2015, it came out. And the big thing about these things too, like if you're one of these kind of people like me and Ken are, who love looking at dead wax information and stuff like that, all these Friday Music vinyl cuts that they did, there's always these sort of notes and little comments in the dead wax. And this is no different. So on record one here, it on side A, it says, "Thank you, yes," handwritten.
Thank you, yes, wax. Okay.
And on the second record, like three and four, on side three, it says "Your Move," which is basically a song from the album, right?
Okay.
I don't know why they just put there, but when they did the reissue of Going for the One on blue vinyl, they had something about supporting Del. There was a fund that Joe DiRigoso is a big supporter of, about Dalmatians, like the breed of dog.
Really?
And he has something in there like support Dalmatians or something. There was some odd thing that he put in there.
That's
yeah. And he always writes these little weird things in the yes ones. So when you look in there, yeah, when you get these, check the dead waxings, you'll see some interesting little comments.
Sometimes you do. Yeah.
Yeah. So this one is again 2015. Considering it's really well done, considering the people that are involved in it. And I mean, but don't forget too, Patrick's also told me that he's gotten a Friday Music album, and I don't remember which one it was offhand, but he said that it was remastered by Kevin Gray.
Sometimes, and it didn't sound,
and it sounded terrible, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's so amazing. Sometimes it's surprising. It's not the person. It could also be the source material. It could be true. Many things that could happen in there. And, you know, just, you know, do your due diligence and, you know, do your research and find out this, but this record and this version of the record, I highly recommend, but I'll tell you this though.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind getting up every 10 minutes to flip a side,
right,
this album, you're going to really enjoy it because it sounds really, really good. But the reason why this is not a heavy played record for me is mainly because of that. You know, because when I'm listening to records,
the experience,
you know, I like to sit there and, you know, put my feet up and listen. And, you know,
right,
you usually got like 20 minutes on a record, sometimes 18 usually or whatever, right? Yeah. But you have to get up after like 9 minutes, and, you know, it takes a little bit of the fun out of it sometimes. But sonically, there's no doubt that this album sounds absolutely fantastic. And, yeah. I mean, now, if I was to make a comparison out of the three,
yes.
Again, I've said it, and I've said it before at the beginning of my showing here, that the German one is in my box of my play listening records, mainly because I think it's the best overall sounding one. I still think the Red Label one sounds better, but. Mm-hmm. I the German one sounds fantastic. It's in great condition. The red one is starting to become a little bit more hard to find and a little bit more precious in that sense. So I'm playing it as much now anymore.
Sure.
Because I don't want to accidentally do something stupid like and hit the thing and like scratch it.
Yeah.
It's stupid, right? You know. And this one is great. It's amazing. But like I said, I if I'm in the mood to listen to it, like if I'm really in that mood, I want to hear something like, you know, really high quality, top sounding, that I'll put this on, but normally I'll play my German one.
Yeah, I'm sure that one is the box one. I'm sure a lot of those are usually out of, you know, sold out. You know, they limit those. I'm sure that was limited.
And pricey.
And I mean, yeah, I'm sure it's pricey. Yeah.
I just went on Discogs now and did a check on the median price, and it's like it's up there. It's already like $200 or something like that.
Yeah. So you didn't, did you, this is interesting here. There was the recent 50th anniversary.
Yes.
Release. Did you get that one? Or are you thinking about getting that?
I'm going to probably, I got the Fragile one, but right. I didn't get this one yet. I know that they got it just recently at the local Sunrise Records here that's by my house.
Yeah.
So I'm going to probably grab that one, and they also have a 50th anniversary Tales from Topographic Oceans as well there now. So I'm probably going to go grab those ones as well. The Fragile that I got is a clear vinyl version that came out, the 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds good. Fragile is a hard record to do bad. I mean, that record is so sonically excellent. I mean, unless Stevie Wonder or, you know, somebody who, you know, mastered it, then you're not going to do anything wrong with it, you know?
Right, right. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, that's a good, interesting pick. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but it's those three records are all interesting in their own way. Really neat.
Yes.
Really neat stuff. That's what's cool about, you know, collecting this different varieties of things where they do things differently. And
exactly.
It's all about the sound. You know, you're always looking for the best.
Of course.
You know, the ultimate best sounding, you know, record. You're always looking for that. So.
Or, and also, cool. Just before you go to also another thing that people tend to do as well is a lot of people sometimes collect certain records because they want to find something like an odd variation. Like, for example, there's like Beatle records that have like count-ins that are not on certain other pressings. Like, oh, Ringo counted in 4 on this song and it's not on this version of
Right.
You know, some people are like that. They'll hunt down these things.
Sure. Yeah.
This one has like a, you know, a different ending to it. This one fades out, and the other one, this run record, doesn't fade out. You know, so there's all these little things that people like to collect. So.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. All right. I'll get on with my next one then. My second one. My second one. Was this the right one? is an artist that, you know, I've come to enjoy. Kind of got into him a little bit now. That's not the right one, though. It's Alice Cooper, the artist. Oh, very nice. And the record is Billion Dollar Babies.
Nice.
And great album. I guess, yeah. First time hearing music from... The first time I heard him, but I didn't know who he was when they played Schools Out. I remember hearing when going back and finally, you know, starting to get into Alice Cooper, Schools Out, I didn't know it was Alice Cooper. I didn't know No More Mr. Nice Guy. I heard those on the radio when I was young. I always had the radio on when I, you know, went to bed at night and woke up to it as an alarm in the morning. This is in the, you know, 70s. First half of the 70s, I did that for sure. But then finally I got something. I got, I think the first one I really bought was, I want to say it was From the Inside. I don't know if it was the other one before that, Goes to Hell, but I got that one, and then I started going into the back catalog, right? And that's when I started really getting into it. And this album, tear stuff off it here, is probably my favorite Alice Cooper album. Another reason I picked it, one of the reasons. And then this one too. I'll show the cover first. This is a 73.
Yeah,
it came out. So it has embossed here.
Yeah,
Just on this part here. Mm-hmm. Looks like a snakeskin wallet kind of thing, billfold. Because when you open it, it has the. Is it upside down? Yes.
Yeah. So
it has the. On the one side here, this is the. Kind of like baseball kind of cards. They're perforated. You could cut these out or pull them out if you wanted to. And then the other side is a paper billfold, dollar bill, $1 billion bill. Nice. Actually, I don't think I could try spending it. I don't know. I don't think it'll work.
Probably not.
So that's that. That's kind of a cool thing. You know, Alice Cooper used to put stuff in their, you know, goodies. Kind of like Kiss did that later on, right? Kind of following that. And the inner sleeve, one side is lyrics, green and yellow kind of thing. And then here's the band.
The famous picture.
And Alice Cooper is a little... You know, the baby, not a real baby. Is that a real baby? Yeah, it was a real baby on that one.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
I think it's a real baby. Yeah, it was a real baby. I think I remember seeing something about that, where that baby is now. There was an article about that. Anyway, kind of crazy. So that's the picture. The record is fantastic. Of course, has Billion Dollar Babies and Elected and... Generation Landslide, Sick Things, I Love the Dead, No More Mr. Nice Guy, which I mentioned, Hello Hooray, Raped and Freezing, all those. I mean, just Unfinished Suite. But yeah, that show this up close. I don't know. This is
it's a promo copy.
Nice. This is another, because you know, I like promo copies of records.
Yeah.
I tend to get. So this is my, I only have three Alice Cooper vinyl Billion Dollar Babies. So I'm showing all three today. So this is the 1970.
Now, is that album gold stamp?
No, there's no gold stamp on it.
Because the The cars that you showed us earlier, that did have a gold stamp on the
cover. That had a stamp on the cover. This is before the gold stamps, and there's no indicator of anything about it being promo on the covers.
No cut corners or nothing.
No cut corners. This is before that, they just didn't do it. Warner Brothers didn't always, do that kind of stuff. Sometimes they didn't identify them, that much. If you look at like Van Halen, something like that, it's just not, it's just the label, right?
Yeah.
So what did I say? Why did I pick it? Well, it's one of my favorite Alice Cooper records. So that was pressed in 73. Now we're going to go much later here. This one is pressed in 2016.
Oh, okay. That's really far ahead.
Okay. And they didn't do a lot of pressings, late pressings. This is like the only pressing in the 2000s until another one recently. But this one, they replicated it. It's embossed here again. The inner parts are the same. It's perforated still and everything. The inner sleeve is still the same.
It's still the dollar bill there, too?
That's still the dollar bill. Okay. Still there. Or the $1 billion bill, that is. And then it's pretty good quality cover. This was a... I forgot to say about the first one. First one was mastered by George Marino.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, the white label promo. This one here... I'm showing now 2016 is they only made 3,000 for Rocktober. That Rocktober thing, Rhino Rocktober thing. And it was limited. And I actually remember going, not looking for it, and I found it. I was like surprised it was there and I got it. This one is a colored vinyl. It's a green. They call it a what? I don't know. They replicate the
splatter
green label. It's kind of a marble that they call now marble. This is back 2016, so but this color is called, what is it, green, yellow, orange. There's orange in it and yellow in it, but you can't really tell that much. But this one is a nice job. It was cut by Chris Bellman.
Oh, okay, cool.
So if I know you've heard of him.
Disciple of Bernie Grundman.
Yeah. It was another one of those where it was, I think this one was, I don't know if they call this one remastered or not. I think they did say it was remastered, but I'm not sure about that.
I would be very surprised if it wasn't, because usually at this time they were going remastered crazy with everything.
I think that's this one was. So. And then the newest one, this one, 2024, which they call it the $1 trillion edition. Anyway, they really did a great. It's a rhino. Edition 2020. Just got this like a week ago, in the mail. This is embossed here, but it's also embossed all over to make it feel like the snakeskin kind of thing. It's all feely, touchy feely kind of thing. But this one is what's different about this one is. It's a three records.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so you got here. First of all, it flips open here. There's some of it here. That's a picture. We got the Alice, and then we have the songs, credits, some more pictures. But then the other side flips open. It's like the original.
Okay.
With the bill and the members there. So there's three. Three records. One is the original pressing, and I won't. There's no reason to show that. It's the same. It's black, but it's the same.
Yeah.
They replicated that. Well, I'll show it anyway. I guess I will. Just to see it, make sure the label is the same. I think I'm pretty sure the label is the green. Ah. It's a Warner Records. Oh, this one says Warner Records. It's a little different label. Let's see here.
That's a new, that's the newer sort of logo for it.
Yeah. So they didn't replicate the old one except for the color green, but the Warner logo is different than that, the old WB.
Yeah.
What they had. They didn't have a polyline sleeve.
Oh,
Mark. So sorry about that. I know. That stinks. The other thing is the other music on here, which is cool, is there was a limited release like a year ago. I want to say a year ago or 2 years ago for Record Store Day of Live in 73. It's pretty much the same thing. But it's included in this one. It has the Live in Houston in 1973, April 28th. It has a lot of the songs that are on this record. Hmm. You know, Hello, Hooray, Million Dollar Babies, Elected. I'm 18, which is not off of this, but it's a great song. Rape Confusion, No More Mr. Nice Guy, My Stars, Unfinished Sweet, Sick Things, Dead Babies. Mm-hmm. Which is off of Killers. I Love the Dead. So that's on here. I didn't have that other Record Store Day release, so it worked well that I got it this way. And then side five, they have, and six, they have different versions, single versions on side five, the actual single edits. And then this. Side five is the outtakes. Side six has single versions, so I got those backwards. But it's pretty cool. And the sound, it's pretty good. I want to say it sounds pretty equal, maybe a little bit better than the 2016 version. I still think the 73 version, unfortunately, the promo one has a lot of, I have some cracks and pops in that one. It plays through fine, but the sound is a little bit better on the original promo. I still think that's the one to beat for these. So that's it. I think it said, who was it? Chris Bellman on this one too. He mastered by Chris Bellman. So,
You know, it's interesting that you picked this one because I went to the record store recently and I got this, which is that version of
The same version with the CD.
But it's a CD version because when I saw it at the record store, the 3 LP was like $92 Canadian. I was like, whoa, that's a little steep. So, but it's basically the same thing. It's just on CD and it has exactly the same stuff that you just mentioned on there. Just in CD form, you know, it's just the original album.
Yeah, it's about half the price. Half the price of what?
It's like $30. It was pretty cheap in comparison. But you know, it came with this the sticker. But the thing was, the stupid thing about the sticker was the way they put it. It went right over the whole thing, so you couldn't open it unless you ripped it.
Right? Well, that sucks. Yeah,
sort of stupid. But I salvaged it that way. That I just put.
Okay. Cool.
Good album. Well, that's cool.
It's a great album. One of his, you know, greatest albums. You know, there's other really, really, really good albums that he's done. But I enjoy that one, and that was a recent addition. It's kind of like the Cars one. I thought, you know, I have three. I can do it. I'll show these off. If you like Alice Cooper, you haven't gotten that one, you should definitely get, you know, Billion Dollar Babies. Sure.
It is a good album.
All right. So we're ready for the last one of the day, which is yours.
All right. Mark. So this, again, won't be a surprise, especially what band it is. And it probably won't be a surprise at the record.
See if I'm going to guess this in my head.
I had gone through and started doing some fine detailed notes on my discography of this band, and I started putting these little pieces of paper inside the plastic bags here, just that had all the information, who cut it, and blah blah, blah all this stuff. So just so I can, for my own personal, you know, reasons of it, because some of these bands I collect multiple copies of, right? So this band that we're going to look at, and the album we're going to be looking at, let me just take it out of here first, is Rush. And it's Caressive Steel.
I like that album. Cool.
Now, this album, I got to this album pretty early. I mean, I discovered Rush younger than I was when I discovered Yes. I think I've told a story before once where I walked into my sister's room on her turntable as a record, and her headphones were plugged into her stereo. I turned on the thing, put on, and it was Exit Stage Left. And I was like, wow. Yeah. I was like, absolutely just like, what is this? And from there on in, you know, she found out that I listened to it. She didn't get mad, but she actually was happy that I liked it. And so she kind of fueled my like loving of Yes, because she started letting me listen to all these other records, and I started collecting my own Rush albums. So this album is what Rush calls their heavily on pot phase of their career. And it's also the phase of the career where Neil Peart was heavily into books by Tolkien, books by Ayn Rand, stuff like that. And the funny thing is, because of that, I bought Tolkien books and I bought Ayn Rand books. Some of the Ayn Rand ones are easy, like a novel, like Anthem is a novelette. It's only like 110 pages, right? So that's an easy read. And actually, that book, Anthem, the novelette, is exactly the book that Neil was inspired to write 2112 by. If you read that book, it's basically 2112.
Wow.
So it's fantastic. You have to get inspiration from somewhere. But then, you know, the Fountain of Lamnath is an actual sort of thing that Ayn Rand was talking about in her books and stuff. So, and that's a song on here.
Interesting.
So this is this here is a U.S. Reissue. It's an early 70s pressing. Okay. I don't have the exact year. I tried to search it out on Discogs, and they didn't even have the year exact. They just said early 70s. Right? Yeah, they didn't know what year it was. It's a gatefold, as you can see. There's the boys. And the text I find a little hard to read, as sort of like, you know, book, you know.
The text that they used on it.
So I was like, what the hell does that say? You know, it's hard to read sometimes. And this is on Mercury. This is on the Mercury label, right? They got signed by Mercury. There's the songs at the bottom there, right?
Yep.
And it comes on the Skyline label at that time, which Mercury was.
I think that's the one I have. Yeah, I have that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's side, what side was that? Side one, and this is side two, which is just, side two is all one song, which is just the Fountain of Lamnath, right?
Right. I enjoy that.
I picked these ones. These ones I'm going to show you are all, for the exception of the last one, I was searching out at record fairs and stuff like that, and I was really trying to hunt out these kind of presses, because I was hot on collecting Rush at this time, right?
Sure.
And according to my little information here, this was mastered on Master Disc. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And Master Disc at that time was doing the thing where they were just stamping Master Disc. They weren't writing it. They were just
right, the stamp.
The stamp in there, right?
Yeah.
And Robert Ludwig has been known to say, and I've read a few interviews where he said that if you see Master Disc stamped, or even if it's Master Disc written and there's nothing else there, then chances are 95% it's him, Robert Ludwig, that did it, right?
Yeah.
Because he did start initialing it later, where he did put RL in there.
Yeah.
Because he said, you know, sometimes he did put RL, sometimes he didn't put RL. You know, it was depending on how he felt, right?
Sure.
So so that's this pressing here, which is, again, like I said, a U.S. pressing. It sounds really good. You know, it's what you expect from Rush. It's that sort of they still had a little bit of Zeppelin influence in there, but
a little bit,
Neil's
yeah.
drumming, there's it definitely took a notch up in terms of drumming. The bass playing is really good. Alex's guitar sound is really good on this record. I like it. And there's some nice acoustic guitar on here. So Terry Brown did a good job on here. But even he said himself, I mean, it was so pot smoked in there that he could barely see the mixing console at some points. You know, it was so much smoke in there. But it's mm-hmm. It's a trippy album. It's not their high point in their career by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, compared to Fly By Night, even. Yeah. I think Fly By Night is a much better record, but this definitely has its high points. And sonically, it sounds really good. The reason why I picked this is because it does sound really good on here, which brings me to my second pressing, because while this one sounds good, this one, I can already tell you, sounds much better. Okay. Let me take this out. Here's the cover. As you can see, it's in better condition, but still a little beat up. Now, this is a non-gatefold.
Non-gatefold. Interesting. Okay.
Now, it didn't come with the original inner sleeve, which had the lyrics and those pictures and all that.
Okay, yeah.
But I did buy this for a very, very good reason. And I'll show you. And it might become clear as I show you more here, because we'll go to the record next here. Now, as we all know, they were signed to Mercury Records.
Mercury.
But then after a time, they decided, hey, you know what? Maybe we should make our own record label. And they started a label called Anthem.
Okay. Oh, Anthem, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's that. Okay. That's side one. Flip it over. And here's side two.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. It doesn't say side two. It says side 1-1.
It's for like
side 11. Now, the great thing about this one, and I was hinting at there was a reason why I bought this one, regardless of it not being totally complete. And I'll refer to my little note here, I'll show you really quick here. In my little bag there, I got like these notes here.
Yeah. Right,
for each one. Now, this one is a 1978. Canadian reissue.
Okay.
Now reissue, not remaster, reissue.
Reissued, yes.
This was mastered at the Lacquer Channel here in Toronto, where I actually get all my records done as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And the reason why I bought it was because it was done, the lacquer was cut, done, and I think it was even mastered as well by the very popular, very fantastic George Graves. He is a legend amongst the Canadian engineering community here in Canada. He's done so many fantastic records. I mean, when you go into the Lacquer Channel, you can all the gold records and platinum records that are all 95% of them are George Graves cut.
Oh, really?
Triumph, all kinds of Rush albums. There's Styx albums. There's all kinds of stuff and those times when those records are popular, he was the man who was doing the Canadian pressings of them.
Okay.
Now, an easy way to look for his, if you want to get this exact record, you look at the Dead Wax here, and on side two, I believe, on side two, you'll see in there handwritten, it'll say TLC. Okay.
The Lacquer Channel.
Yeah, the Lacquer Channel. And then a few centimeters over to the right, you'll see what looks like originally, it looks like almost like a weird GC in there, but it's not GC, it's GG.
GG.
The way he hand wrote it looks really weird.
But yeah.
It's George Graves, GG.
Yes. Right? Some of those guys handwrite things, it doesn't always look you think it should look, but yeah.
But if you get a record from the mid-70s, late-70s, even early-80s, and has TLC handwritten in there, chances are George Graves is the one who worked on it. And I was lucky enough back in the early 2000s, I was in a band called Reckon With One, and we did an EP, and he actually mastered it for me. So it was one of the last things, apparently, that he did before he went into retirement.
Oh,
was something, and talking with him about working on these records was just fantastic to sit down with the guy himself and, you know,
talk about cool.
It was quite an experience. Now, getting back to this album, to me, this one kicks the U.S. pressing's butt, the master disc one. Okay. I mean, Robert Ludwig is—he's great. I mean, he's a living legend, right? But I don't know what it is, but when I put this on, it has more punch to it. It's the bottom end is maybe not as robust as Robert Ludwig tends to do, but the low end in this is good. It's very there's a clarity to it. It's not bass, right?
Yeah.
The mid range in this is really good. That's the one thing about George Graves' stuff is that his mid range, how he, especially the upper mid range, not the lower mid range, but the upper mid range, he seems to have a way to kind of pinpoint certain frequencies and he boosts them where the guitars are like, wow, they sound really good. And acoustic guitars, especially, you can literally hear the guy's pick on the string sometimes. It sounds so good on your. I mean, this is the when I listen to this album. This is the version of it that I pull out and listen to.
Okay.
You know, it sounds really, really fantastic.
Interesting.
And it's I would recommend it. And it's, you know, they're not pricey, but they might be hard to find. That's just the thing.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, the last copy of this is one that has gotten great debate over the years.
Really?
Yes, and I'll explain why in a second. Okay. Let me just get this out here first. Here's the album cover. You'll see it's in beautiful, pristine condition.
Yeah.
You'll see there's even a thing at the
bottom. Barcode.
Uh-huh. Barcode, which should give it away, because if you look at the bottom here.
Later.
It is the 2014, I believe.
Okay.
2015, sorry, reissue. That was the Direct Metal
when Master. They did a bunch. Yeah, the Direct Metal Master.
Yeah,
DMM, Master. They call those.
Yeah. Okay. The gatefold. This is a faithful recreation of the album as it was in its original form.
That's good.
So that's fantastic. I'll show the record. The great thing about these ones when they were done is that they were done on 200 gram vinyl,
these ones. Yeah, and they did.
It's heavy, man. Like, even like now, when I took it out of the sleeve, I'm like, holy shit. You know, it's pretty heavy. They went back to the original. Wow, it's heavy, man. They went back to the original, labels too. With the Mercury labels, right?
Yeah.
There you go, both sides. Mm-hmm. Now, I was saying before that this one has some
controversy
towards
it. Yeah.
Mainly because, number one, when I first announced it, and they were saying that, you know, they're going to be doing these reissues, everybody was in seventh heaven. They're like, yay, finally, we're going to get some vinyl, Rush vinyl, you know, reissued finally. Because, you know, they haven't done it in dog's years, right? So, then they found out that it was Sean McGee who was going to do it at Abbey Road.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were kind of like, oh, you mean that guy who effed up the Beatles stereo box set? So people were already like kind of a little worried. But then, you know, people quickly came to his defense as well, saying, well, he also did do the Iron Maiden album reissues and they were good. You know,
okay.
So there was, you know, people were concerned, let's just put it that way, about what he would do with this. Now, I bought them. I have all of them. Every single issue that came out in this 2015 series, I have. All the Sean McGee ones. The later ones, the Atlantic years, which were like Presto, Roll the Bones and all that, I got those as well, but they were done by different people, I'm pretty sure, because it was a different record company that was under the licensing for that. Atlantic was doing that. But this album sounds really good. I think it sounds great. The direct metal mastering has a way of bringing the top end clarity in. It's really, anything in the top end of the EQ sounds great on Direct Metal Master. You know what I mean? Like, keyboards come out really good. If you have, like, string parts, like orchestra stuff, fantastic. You know, the whole band sounds good on here as well. But me and Patrick did this little series back about 2-3 years ago where we started doing comparisons of the Rush albums using the 2015 against an OG.
Okay.
And every record, for except one, the OG was better.
Okay.
Right? It sounded better. It was just fuller sounding. One of them, we also realized that Sean McGee screwed up the panning on them, that they were reversed.
Reversed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it happens, you know. And look at it. It's not like it's unlistenable. It's far from unlistenable. It sounds really, really good. And let me tell you something, too. People, take my word for this. If you don't own a Rush record and then this is the only one you can find, like this series, like the 2015, be happy. Seriously, because they sound fantastic overall. I mean, if you've never heard an OG or if you've never heard of like an early 70s version of it, you don't know what you're missing anyway. So who cares, right? It sounds good. You know, it sounds really good. This stuff, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, if you own them and if you keep them in good condition, they are worth a lot. I mean, if you go on Discogs and look up how much these 2015s cost, you'll be in shock. I know Patrick almost had a heart attack when I told him that the Rush Counterparts reissue that came out in 2015 is going for $300 on vinyl.
Wow.
$300. So that's, I mean, crazy. These ones I don't think are up that high. Like, I think some of these ones are only about like $90 or something like that, which is still quite a bit, you know.
Sure.
But a lot of these records are getting up there. I mean, Presto was like the like three digits. A lot of these albums are getting up there because they do sound good, and they're becoming a collectible thing because they were done really well. The album covers look really nice, you know. And if you think about it, bands that don't have their catalogs reissued frequently, the reissues will become pricey because of that. Because if you have, like, you know, they the record came out in 75, they reissued it up until like 79, and all of a sudden it stopped, and there's nothing till 2015. Well, guess what? The 2015s are going to be worth a hell of a lot now, right?
Mm-hmm. So, for sure.
So overall, I say the Canadian pressing is my favorite sounding of it. I think overall it's the best one. It did use, obviously, the original analog tapes. There was no digital going on yet in 77, 78. So they didn't do that. I don't think George Graves got into the digital end of stuff until much later anyways. So I would recommend that one. It's a 78 pressing Canadian. The US one sounds good too. But, you know, this one sounds really good too. I would say that if you have a choice between a VG copy US pressing and a mint copy of this, like even if it's like VG plus, because this has only been around for what, 4 or 5 years, okay?
Yeah.
Well, or maybe longer now. It's like 10 years.
Okay? Almost 10 years, yeah.
But still, a 50-year-old record is probably going to sound a lot more beat up than this is going to sound. And if you're and if you want a good sounding copy, go get this. It's good. It sounds good, you know. And unless you have a seller that you know that you trust, and you know that if he says this is a good record, it doesn't skip or pop, then, you know, I would go with a sealed copy or a more newer.
Sure.
You know, because I was lucky. I found a guy in England when I was getting my Bowie collection stuff, and he was really honest about his pressings and how they sounded and stuff like that. So I got a lot of really old copies, like, and I was hot on collecting those RCA Green Label International pressings.
Because
that's when that Bilbo guy who's in the Dead Wax was doing them, and they sound amazing, and they're all analog cut, you know, AAA analog, and they sound amazing. So that's another little thing for you people. If you're looking for good Bowie ones, I kept that in the download too, because they're cheap. Nobody was grabbing the international pressings, and they sound good. Some of them are way better than the Dynaflex ones. So keep that.
Oh, Dynaflex, yes. Yeah. Oh, cool. That's interesting. I didn't know a lot about some of that Caress of Steel stuff. I know those DMM things came up. But when you talked about it, I know I have a Caress of Steel, but I don't know if I only have one copy or two copies. But I know I have one of my copies is in Rush Archives.
And that's good too.
And I want to say that was that I want to say Gilbert Kong did that.
Yes, one. Gilbert Kong did those ones back in the day, the archives. And that's another thing too, people. If you're looking for a great copy of those ones, get the archives. I have the archives. I have two copies of them. One of them, you know, in my weakness as a, you know, devoted brother, I ended up giving my older sister who got me into music, so I kind of didn't feel as bad doing this, but I had a black version. You know how they're gray?
Oh, yeah, there's a black version. Yeah,
I had a black gold stamp promo of archives.
Yeah.
And I gave it to her.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And which was, I kind of regret that. Funny. But, you know, but I have another copy of it, and it's a Gilbert Kong, and they sound fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So if you don't have these albums, there's a good way to knock off the three records, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's how I got my, when I started getting into Rush, that was one of the first things I bought was archives after really getting good. Like, Pharaoh the Kings in 2112, and then I went to archives after that.
Yeah.
So,
and one last thing too, people.
Yeah.
Pharaoh the Kings, if you look in inside the gatefold sleeve of that, the mastering credit and the lacquer cut is George Graves for everything. I believe every pressing of that, they use the George Graves cut.
Okay. I have one. I know I have one here.
Look inside. You'll probably see it says, it'll say they're remastered by George Graves.
I'll look at it. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Good to know. All right.
That was lots of fun.
That was good, Mark. I enjoed it. I enjoyed the
another episode.
It's a learning. Yeah. We'll have to do another one, pick another, couple, you know, whatever, again. Another couple of records and do it again with some other artists. So I know we both have multiple copies of certain artists, you know. You're always looking for the best sounding copies, and then if you're a real fan of the artist, you're gonna probably buy more than one for sure. Yep, anyway,
definitely.
Of the same album. So cool. Yeah, this went really well. I'm glad we did it. Sure. So hopefully the listeners, if you've, you know, stumbled upon us, you know, enjoyed this and maybe you learned something too, and or it inspired you to go out and maybe get one of these albums or even just to look more deeply into the actual vinyl itself, like who mastered it and the groove, run-out groove, and all that.
If you might have your own copies of this, and you might now realize that you may have a Canadian, or you might have a U.S. one, or you might have a copy like Ken had of his Cars records, you know?
Exactly. So, all right. Well, we'll finish up. Hopefully, we'll do another one like this, and, you know, hopefully we won't wait too long and do another one. So,
yeah, and people, leave a comment. Tell us what kind of records you have and what kind of, you know, pressings you like.
And list maybe what you might want, you know, us to a specific album or artist, you know, maybe we have it and we'll be able to do it for you and we'll take a look at that stuff. So so again, thanks from Mark Anthony K and myself. Hopefully we'll see you soon.
Take care.
Thank you for watching or listening to this episode. Be sure to subscribe to us, like us, or even leave us a review. You can find us and join the conversation on Facebook.